This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're coming up to 7:48 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Jen Sun. Now, Sagambot MP Hannah Yeo is the newly appointed Minister of Youth and Sports. She's only the second woman to lead the ministry after Datuk Sri Azalina Uthman's tenure back in 2004.
During her first few days in office, the minister has said that she will not introduce new programs or policies, but instead work with what is already in place. Since then, there have been a few sports-related headlines which put this ministry in the spotlight. Firstly, the National Rugby Body has lodged a police report that a member of staff has allegedly been siphoning money from the association's bank account, totaling up to 1 million ringgit since 2019. And there's also discussion whether a Safe Sport Act should be passed in Parliament to protect athletes from sexual predators and other forms of abuse.
So what are the expectations for the newly minted Minister of Youth and Sports, and what kind of recommendations do civil society and people from the industry want to see? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Harish Deol, editor of the online portal 2213.my. Harish, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. I'd like to get, first of all, your initial reactions to the appointment of Hannah Yeo as Minister of Youth and Sports. Were you surprised by this?
Forget about my reaction, but when asked about by 2213, Hannah herself admitted that the portfolio was unexpected. So obviously eyebrows were raised as to why she was given that particular ministry. But it is what it is. And what's important right now is what she can do for the particular ministry.
And Harish, Hannah said that she will not introduce new programs to the ministry, but instead she will work with what is already in place. What are the top issues she should look into nonetheless?
The fact that she said she would not introduce new programs, that itself is music to ears, because as we all know, ministers come and go and all they want to do is just leave their so-called legacies. What she needs to do is just look at the current programs that are already available. And look at them. If they need strengthening, so be it. If they need to be dropped, you know, that's the way to go. So yeah, just look at the current existing programs. I think it's sufficient at this point in time.
Okay, but can we get your thoughts on this? You know, what should she keep and what should she drop then?
Well, to be honest, there are a lot of things she should keep. Simply because the youth and sports portfolio is really wide. For example, we've got youth-related activities, initiatives. We've got your Hari Belia, for example. We've got your Fit Malaysia. We've got your Hari Sukan Negara. Now, the former minister, Datuk Seri Ahmad Faizal Azumu, I remember him telling me that if he had an opportunity to serve the ministry longer, it shouldn't be Hari Sukan Negara. It should be, you know, a month of Hari Sukan Negara or even a year. I think the idea here is to get masses out there, exercising, sweating it out, being part of a particular sporting organization, whether as an athlete, amateur athlete, or as an official, meaning volunteering their services. Yeah. So it's all about, in a nutshell, it's about creating a sporting nation. Now, that's the sports side of it. Then the youth initiatives. There are quite a number of youth initiatives by the ministry, job opportunities. Now, I like the fact that she mentioned that there are so many other ministries, and she wants to work with all of them. That should have been the way since day one, simply because youth and sports should not be just confined to the responsibility of one particular ministry. It cuts across. Look, we have youths and sports in schools. That comes under the education ministry. There are youths and sports at universities. There are youths even at workplaces, workforce. So it shouldn't be just restricted or be the responsibility of one particular ministry. So I like the fact that she wants to work with the other ministries. So be it, you know?
Okay.
And that should be the way.
What about her? What, you know, and I want to know, prior to her appointment, how much conversation was there between the different ministers that have been youth and sports with the, let's say, the different sports associations?
There have been plenty of engagements. You see, the problem is the templated mentality that many people have with regards to youth and sports. Now, when we talk about sports organizations or associations, we are in 2022. We speak about professionalism, yet we expect the government to give out money to all these sports associations. Now, My question, if let's say, for example, you're a business owner, the first thing you would ask me or ask that particular sports association is, what can you bring to the table? Now, if you talk about narratives like, oh, unity and stuff like that, look, that is mass related, not sports association per se. Now, if we go into what the sports association should do, they should rightfully be promoting their particular sport at the grassroots all the way to the top. That is not happening. All they do is they are so fixated with the elite athletes. Now, the elite athletes only represent like what? 0.1% of the voting population? But what about you and I? What about our kids? What about our neighbors? How can they directly benefit from the youth and sports ministry? So when it comes to the engagement should not be just restricted towards the sports associations like it has always been done in the past, but it should be, you know, open up to more residents associations, for example. They should all be part of the ecosystem.
And while we're talking about associations, sports associations, yeah. Harish, maybe we could get a little bit of your comment on the recent headlines of how Malaysia Rugby has made a police report as to the siphoning of a substantial amount of money from their accounts by a staff member. Do you think that this is an isolated incident, or is this actually reflective of, I guess, what's happening in terms of funding across all the different sports associations in the country? Is that something that we should be very concerned about?
I think it's unfair to generalize, although we have had, a news of a sports association or certain individuals within sports associations siphoning, mismanaging funds and so forth and so on. It's not a problem exclusive to just sports associations alone. We've seen this happening in ministries, in government agencies, and even in private sector. It boils down to governance at the end of the day. Now, the sports associations, they must actually file in their, you know, audited accounts to the sports commissioner's office annually. But that the question is that enough? And, do we actually need additional, safety nets to ensure that such an issue does not happen again, although isolated, although it's not rampant, but we must take a cue from such instances. At the end of the day, it's taxpayers' money.
And Harish, can you help us understand how the allocation for each national sports association works? And is there an imbalance between the funds allocated? And should that be measured by prize achievements?
Okay. The very standard way of looking at it is that you achieve well at a particular games. Let's say, for example, the SEA Games. You can justify your programs. Now, the national sports associations will go up to the National Sports Council, and make a request, and the National Sports Council will then look into the request and allocate the funds as per the programs. Now, that's a very traditional way of looking at it. We've got associations that are able to stand on their own feet and they don't rely 100% on the National Sports Council. Because, let's say, for example, like the Badminton Association of Malaysia, they've got a really big sponsor. Having said that, when you come to the question of the funds allocated and should they be measured by prize achievements, now my question is that more often than not, we've seen an imbalance in that. Let's take football, for example. The former Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, he allocated 10 million to football. Why? That sport has been severely inconsistent at even the SEA Games level. Yet they often enjoy this 10 million, 20 million, whatever million allocations. Why? And what is the justification? So that is basically to buy votes.
Okay. And there's one more interesting headline that's come out in the last few days. And of course, that's the Safe Sport Act. And it's been in discussion for months. Now, how important is this Safe Sport Act to actually go through Parliament and be passed?
Any act which... the Safe Sport Act is a really good act. It goes specific, it zeroes in into creating safe spaces for all of us. In fact, it's not just exclusive to athletes, yeah? It's for all of us, all your listeners, you and I. And the thing is that my issue with this is that we get this passed well and good, but it boils down to enforcement. Now, we have got quite a number of legislations that can already protect our athletes, our community, from all form of, you know, whether it's harassment or whether it's abuse. But if there is going to be a lack of enforcement, if there's not going to be any action taken after a report is lodged, then there's no point of having 101X. So my what do you call it? To summarize this, good that it's great that there are conversations about Safe Sport Act, but there must be a timeline as to when it will be, you know, tabled and when it will be passed. And more importantly, what happens after that? Okay, you have an act, well and good, and then what? So that needs to be addressed.
Harish, thank you very much for your comments and insights today. That was Harish Jyol, editor of the online portal 2213.my, giving us his thoughts on areas that the youth and sports minister should prioritize as she looks ahead to how she wants to formulate Malaysian policy on this.
Yeah, I mean, Hannah has a really strong reputation of having good operational skills. She's always on the ground listening to the needs of the people. So I would imagine she would bring these traits with her to the sports ministry. I just saw on her social media yesterday, she was at the Sepang International Circuit. She was with Tan Sri Azman Yahya listening to the issues there. And she also made a visit to Josiah Ng, the ex-Olympian cyclist. So she's really started to be really busy already.
Well, you know, the budget that they got in 2023, of course, that might not happen. But they've got an allocation of 374 million ringgit. Let's hope they put all this money to good use.
7:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the breakfast grill, I'll be speaking to Dr. Muhammad Mohan of Transparency International Malaysia and Karen Chia of the Malaysian Bar to mark International Anti-Corruption Day. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.